Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode 162 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today's episode is all about byproducts and how we can use them. As you guys know, the idea of becoming more and more self-sufficient is a two-part goal. There's two sort of ways to achieve it or to become closer to achieving it. And one is to reduce the amount of things that we actually need, and the other one is to produce more of the things that we need. And the idea of using byproducts is fantastic because it serves both purposes. It both procures things that we might need from free sources or sources that are otherwise just a waste product, but it also reduces the number of things that we actually do need because we can repurpose some things to create items and create foods and things like that that is going to reduce the amount of things that we then need to buy in from elsewhere. Now, the subject is a vast one. There's so many different aspects, so we're going to be flying all over the place, really. There's no real sort of thread that runs through today's episode beyond the idea that we are talking about byproducts. We're going to talk about all sorts of different things, but I thought we'd start just by ticking off some of the ones that we mention quite frequently, and that is, firstly, just animals and our animal byproducts. Now, obviously, most of us will have, at the very least, a few chickens, maybe a bit more. Some of us won't, obviously, but we'll all be familiar with the idea of keeping chickens and the idea that one of the byproducts of keeping chickens is chicken manure. Chicken manure is something that some people who are not quite as keyed into the idea of self-sufficiency might think of as a waste product, something that needs to be gotten rid of, and they're cleaning out their animals and trying to find a home for the waste, maybe even putting it in a trash bag and putting it in the bin. But of course, we know better, don't we? And that byproduct of keeping hens or any other animal, the manure, is going to be a fantastic source of organic matter to compost down and make compost or to use in other ways to treat our garden. But we don't need necessarily to stop with the animals that we have. So we are in a position where we live, where we are looking to source additional sources of organic matter outside of that which we produce ourselves in order to make more compost. We want to produce a lot more compost. So we're actually looking at outside sources of bringing in that organic matter. As a result, I've spoken to some neighbours here where I live, and we're going to be sourcing horse manure from our neighbour who has a couple of horses. So they are more than happy for us to go and take as much horse manure as we can manage. And, we're doing them a favour. At the moment, they've got a massive pile of horse manure and not a lot of use for it. So we've gone beyond the idea of just using the byproduct of our own animals. We're going to be sourcing byproducts of other people's animals to bring onto our little homestead to make more compost. So the idea of using byproducts, not only that we're creating, but by seeing the value in byproducts elsewhere and perhaps bringing them onto your property to use them. Another great example, and something that we're doing of a similar ilk, is we look at commercial waste of shops, and that's how we procure a great deal of our animal feed. As you guys will know, we collect fruit and veg from several fruit and vegetable shops. We collect bread from a bakery and also grains left over from a microbrewery. Now, the microbrewery that is on our doorstep has actually not been functioning. They've got several sites, and the site just next door to us is not been working throughout the pandemic, because they've obviously scaled back their operations with the pubs being closed and what have you. But when they're up and running again, we have a source of spent grains, which again makes fantastic animal feed. But animal feed isn't the only thing that we are sourcing from these commercial outlets. We're also collecting coffee grounds from a coffee shop. And again, the purpose of that is to add organic matter to our compost so that we're able to make more and more compost. So along with the traditional sources of compost, like plants and grass clippings and things like that, that we can save from our garden, and there's precious little hedge trimmings because they go to the goats predominantly, but you know, what there is goes in the compost pile. But in addition to that, we're going to be adding things that we're bringing onto the property by way of horse manure and, of course, these coffee grounds. And that adds to the manure from our own animals that we're obviously saving and putting onto our compost. So all in all, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to produce several tons of compost every year just from byproducts that we're creating ourselves and byproducts of others that we're able to kind of pinpoint and identify a use for and say we'll help you out by getting rid of those byproducts and at the same time help ourselves out as well. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. Now, another area where the use of byproducts is huge is in the kitchen. There's so many byproducts throughout the course of cooking meals, and they all have a use. So first of all, you've got the backstop, which is your compost pile. Now, your compost pile will take anything, all the organic matter from your cooking waste and whichever end of the cooking that is, whether that's the peelings from your onions or whether it's actual leftover food. Whatever you've got that you ultimately can't find a second or third use for can go in your compost. So there's definitely a use there for that byproduct. You definitely shouldn't be, you know, feeling that the only option available to you is to throw it out with the trash. But there's so many other things that we can use these byproducts for first. So I just want to start by talking about leftovers. Now, we have a constant stream of leftovers in the fridge, and I think key is really just a bit of forethought and management. So when I cook at the weekends, and I tend to cook two big batches over the weekend. I'll cook a batch on Saturday, and that will be the meal for Saturday night, plus a meal for in the week, plus a third meal, which will go in the freezer. So I'll cook enough to feed our family three lots of the same meal on a Saturday night usually. And then I will repeat that on a Sunday. So by the end of the weekend, we've got two of our evening meals for that week that I've cooked that we've eaten on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have the same again in the week, and we'll have another lot to go in the freezer. But quite often, even thinking like that, you know, there's some leftovers. There might be some leftover vegetables. There might be some leftover stock. There might be some leftover rice or whatever it is. And we're going to make a point of planning the rest of our weekly meal around making sure that they don't go to waste. One of the things I love to do actually with rice, if I cook too much rice, I love to let that cool in the fridge and then a couple of days later make egg fried rice with it. It's the easiest thing in the world. If you want to make egg fried rice, it can be a bit of a pain because you've got to cook the rice first and then cool it and then refry it. So it's a great way of making egg fried rice is using that leftover rice. Another thing with stocks, you know, stocks will always freeze. So we use quite a lot of mushrooms. I forage for mushrooms a great deal, as regular listeners will know, and I predominantly save them by dehydrating them. Well, by hydrating them, what I tend to do is put the mushrooms in a glass container and just fill them up with hot water and let them rehydrate for about 20 minutes or so. Once I've got my mushrooms, I'm left with this amazing mushroom stock. So if I reduce that down, it can really have this fantastically strong flavour, or I can keep it diluted as it is, as just a regular stock, and that will always freeze. And I might have one big jar in the freezer that I can kind of top up as and when I need to. Or alternatively, depending on how you work, the best way might be to store them in smaller pots so that you've got them in sort of one portion sizes. As I've said, we've got a family of five, and I tend to cook sort of the equivalent of 15 meals at a time. So having larger portions isn't generally a problem for me. A great example of using these sort of byproducts is just at the weekend. I posted a picture on Facebook of the byproducts of our roast dinner. I cooked a huge roast dinner on Sunday, and when all was said and done, there was quite a lot of byproducts left over from it. So I cooked a roast pork, but I didn't roast the pork in the oven. I did it in the slow cooker, and I did it in a white wine and stock. Just a stock from the freezer already, as we've discussed, and some white wine. And I put that in the slow cooker and cooked quite a lot of pork so that it would fall off the bone. And what I had left over after dinner, and after we'd saved enough for our meals in the week, was some pork that was so tender I could pull it apart with some forks and make it like pulled pork. And of course, I had the stock. So those will both be saved. The pulled pork I made a second meal with. I made a Tex-Mex type Mexican pork dish that we had with burritos, and the stock is in the freezer waiting for its next use. The fantastic thing about stock is you can just keep reusing it and actually add flavor to it over time. You could use a stock. I've mentioned this before in my episode that I did on stocks. You can create something called a master stock, which is basically a stock that has been used several times, and each time the flavor deepens and becomes more complex. And there's just so many different ideas behind a master stock. It's its own subject, really. So might be one, if you're interested, that you want to go and look up outside this episode. The other big area that I'm finding we've got a lot of byproduct that I can use really, really well in the kitchen at the moment is sourdough. Find Self-Sufficient Hub content elsewhere online in lots of other places. We have a YouTube channel, we also have our website, and now there's our Facebook page and Facebook group. Links to all of these you can find in the show notes. Come check us out. So I am fairly recent, a bit late to the game with the whole sourdough thing, but I am 100% there now, and I cook four loaves once a week. And as a result, as you will know, if any of you are cooking your own sourdough and have been for any length of time, you're going to have spare starter. You're going to have starter that you need to discard every so often. Well, rather than throwing it away, you can use it to make some amazing things. One of the easiest things in the world to make is crackers, and they really can be amazing. They're super, super simple. If you take your sourdough starter and just mix in a little bit of olive oil or butter or whatever you want, some kind of oil, and then just add as much flour as you need, basically, to be able to roll it out with a rolling pin. Roll it out super, super thin. You can add some poppy seeds on top or whatever you like, and then just pop it in the oven for not too long, about 15 minutes or so, and you've got amazing crackers. It's the easiest thing in the world. A little bit of trial and error will get them however you like them. The other thing you can do is making pizza bases. Again, super, super simple. Because you're not after that rise that you get out of a loaf of bread, it's basically what we do is we take some sourdough starter, and again, we add about not quite as much flour as I would for my crackers, so not quite enough that it's not going to stick to a rolling pin, but you know, enough so that it's not going to stick to your fingers and you can kind of shape it into a ball. And then Basically, what I do is I just do the same proving process that I do with the bread, only over a much, much shorter time period. I probably do the two proves in the course of about an hour and a half. And then rather than rolling it, I just stretch it out into a circle with my hands. And boom, there you go, a pizza base. And it is delicious. So those are two uses of your sourdough discard. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's no reason we should be throwing it away. You know, it's a great resource that we can be making more food with. And I am 100% about that for sure. So where else? Well, stepping away from the food side of things, there are lots and lots of other byproducts. But although I'm stepping away from the food, I'm going to, for a moment, still stay in the kitchen, and I'm going to talk about, in our house, our wood fire. So we've got a wood-burning stove in our kitchen, and it gives out a few byproducts. One of them is heat. Now, heat isn't necessarily a byproduct of a wood burner, you might be thinking, and you are quite right insofar as that's the product. That's what we want from it. But it gives off heat in a way that we didn't used to use, and sometimes we still don't use, and that is actually on top of the wood burner, where we can put a cast iron pan. Now, I've taken to using that heat, that residual heat that would otherwise dissipate into the room and will still dissipate into the room even when you're cooking on it, and using the top of that stove to cook things. It just seems madness to me to have that wood burner going, all that heat right on top of it, and then turn on one of the hobs. It's just crazy to me, you know, why waste that electricity? So if you've got a wood burning stove, then perhaps that's something you might be able to utilize as well. But the other byproduct we all get from wood burning stoves, if we have them, is ash. Now, ash is something else that we are adding to our compost pile. Now, you're not going to want to add buckets and buckets and buckets of ash if you're not adding a lot of other stuff too. But where we are able to mix that in with horse manure and hedge cuttings and plant cuttings and coffee grounds and all these other things, mixing them all in together, we can add quite a lot of ash, so we're not going to have too much. So by saving all of our ash from the fire, again, that's more organic matter that we can turn into compost. It's a byproduct that we would otherwise have to find a use for that is actually going to pay us back. It's going to pay us back in compost. So there is actually another use for ash. If you make soap, you can use it to make your own lye. Basically, water steeped in ash is going to produce the lye that you need to make soap. There is lots of different ways of doing it, but the simplest, and I haven't tried this yet, but I will be this spring when we've got surplus goat's milk, I'm going to start making lots of goat's milk soap, and I want to start producing my own lye as well. And it's, I'm sure there's a little bit more to it than this, but my understanding at the moment in terms of, you know, breaking it down into its simplest form, basically you get a big bin full of ash and you just pour water in there, let that water steep in there for quite some time, and then knock a hole in the bottom of the bin, or better still, have a hole in the bottom of the bin that you've plugged, remove that plug and allow the water to trickle out, and that's going to perform the job of lye in your soap making. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self Sufficient Hub group and the Self Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. Now, we mentioned briefly using the heat on the top of our stoves as a byproduct, but there's other places that give us heat as well. Our compost piles give off heat. And if we're really smart, we can perhaps configure our gardens in a way that we can utilize that. So perhaps if we were able to have a composting bin within our greenhouses, then that would be giving off a little bit of heat during the winter and spring to kind of help keep those temperatures up a little bit. A cornerstone of permaculture design, and it's ubiquitous in most permaculture designs, is the idea of having a hen house that shares a wall with a greenhouse so that the residual heat, the byproduct of having those hens, is going to do the same job and heat your hen house, heat your greenhouse. So there's lots of different ways you can think about that. But we don't have to stop there. We can use byproducts from so many other areas that we might not even be thinking about as byproducts, still staying with the greenhouse and hen house. If you've got any kind of house, be it green, hen, or people house, a byproduct of having these is water catchment if we choose to use it. You know, rainwater. By using water butts to capture rainwater and having rainwater other places than we might otherwise have access to, we're going to be able to harness that byproduct. We can use byproducts from far and wide as well. I've mentioned sourcing coffee grounds and horse manure, but there's so many other sources as well, particularly in the commercial world. So I've said that we get quite a lot of our animal feed from commercial premises, but commercial premises are a great source of cardboard as well. Cardboard can be used for lighting fires. It can be used for making new no-dig garden beds. We recently, as I included in one of my recent YouTube videos, procured a load of cardboard that I needed to increase our no-dig beds in our gardens. If you've got a lot of scrap paper or you read newspapers, you know, that is a byproduct that you can also use, again, to start fires, or you can even use them to make fire bricks by moistening them and compressing them down. You can make fire bricks that burn more like logs. So there's another byproduct that we can make use of. We shouldn't forget that all the recycled things that are hanging around, all the things people don't want that are surplus to requirements, are a byproduct of the society we live in. So by using sites like FreeCycle and Facebook groups where people are looking to rehome items, this is a great way of using byproducts. Someone else's byproduct or someone else's wasted product could be exactly what you need for your project. Which brings me on to the last big category I have to talk to you about, which is builder's waste. Now, builders are generally building houses and extensions. They're working on quite large scales, and it can make economic sense to buy big rolls of plastic, for example, in huge quantities, even though, you know, those huge quantities don't work exactly to the size they want. It's cheaper to buy more big rolls and have half a big roll left over than it is to buy several of the smaller rolls of something like the plastic that they use for damp proofing floors. So if you need some plastic for damp proofing something or for sheeting down a bed, chances are, if it's just a few square meters, a builder will have that as a waste product. The same applies for slates, you know, roofing slates. If you need a handful of roofing slates, you can almost certainly get them as a byproduct, a builder's byproduct, particularly if you can utilize some broken ones. So one of the ways I've done that just recently is to make my slate seed markers by using builder's waste. Anything you can think of that is used in construction, if you only need a small amount of it, generally speaking, you can source it that way. So roofing felt, if you need enough for a hen house, speak to a roofer. They're going to be having little bits like that that they are just seeing as offcuts that would go in the skip. Little pieces of pipe, perhaps. Again, speak to a builder or a plumber, depending on what size pipe you want. And even buckets. In modern construction, particularly landscaping, we have taken to using a resin mortar to brush into the joints on patio and paving, particularly brick paving. So if you know someone who's having a new driveway put in, perhaps, and they're going to use stone sets in that driveway, and if you don't, then maybe just call round a few landscapers that do that kind of work, because chances are they're going to be using a brush-in resin pointing. Now, this stuff comes in buckets with lids, and A landscaper that's installing quite a lot of this product is going to have lots and lots of these as a byproduct. On a typical driveway-sized area, if they're installing stone sets as the driveway covering, they might well have five or six buckets per job that they're buying the resin in. It's something we've recently planted out quite a lot of our soft fruit that we wanted to put into big pots. So it can make a great potting container. And all we need to do is find someone who's looking to get rid of it, because these things are going in skips up and down the country, all around the world, every single day. So all we really need to do is join the dots, and we can do ourselves and the planet and the builder quite a lot of good. So there you go. That brings to a close my episode on byproducts. See if you can find a new way to use some to both save you money and increase your productivity. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I will speak to you guys on Monday. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.